It's 911 Calls Plus exclusive. The one you didn't know you needed.
La 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 la.
Your earballs will be slathered in fun facts and more random blather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We hope you love our newest thingy. We promise we won't do more singing.
Fucking guys talking in the background.
Let's press play now. The show is underway now. The intro song is done. Oh, hi, Deadbug. Welcome to the Plus Edition. It's been 8 seconds since we did the last episode, so hi.
Yeah, I'm missing you already, Operator. I was getting a bit lonely.
Yeah. Well, you know, bathroom breaks have a tendency to do that to people, so. Hey, I got a question for you right off the front here.
Okay.
Hey, Deadbug.
I don't like this question already. It don't sound like it's going anywhere good, but
what is the most severe injury that you've ever suffered? Other than seeing that there were people on our Facebook page that answered the poll by saying they might not know who you were.
Wow. Operator. I heard that you were a kind and a gentle man. But I mean, that remark about the face, that cuts like a knife. You know, I'm not even on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, well, so I was unaware of this so-called poll of yours, but you know, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but size doesn't matter. So my fan base is based on people that I want to hang out with, not a bunch of limp dicks. So if people haven't heard of me, I do not care. And secondly, who tabulated these numbers? Was it that no good son of bitch Kent?
I think actually once the CEO of YouTube tabulated.
Yeah, are you sure? Because I've seen Kent counting out his pennies to buy a grilled cheese sandwich, and I don't trust his potato isn't a number. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm untrustworthy of this, but who the fuck hasn't heard of me? That's goddamn insulting.
I was trying to motivate you to see that this relationship was symbiotic. That
I notice as we go through the podcast, and you got me through the main one, and now we're on the plus. The insults are starting. Is this like, is this a podcast plus, or is it a character assassination?
A bit of a hazing is all. This is really what it is. So
okay. So what You're was the question? Well. What was the question again? Without the insult.
What was the most severe injury that you've ever suffered?
Severe injury I've ever suffered. I was in a motorcycle accident in Mexico.
Ooh.
And I was in a coma for 10 days.
You're kidding.
No. And I woke up in a Mexican thing is they never had, I never had any fucking ID on me. I weren't wearing a helmet.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And something happened to the motorcycle where it just jammed and the wheels jammed and I just fucking went flying. And I'm on a 4-lane highway. I don't even know how I survived because I remember flying and I was just in fucking cutoffs. Didn't have a shirt on, just had a fucking pair of running shoes on. And I just went flying. I remember just flying through the cars coming at me. And then that were it. I just woke up in a hospital and I remember waking up and not even fucking knowing where I was. It was fucking horrible. And there were fucking cockroaches. You don't want to be spent time in a Mexican hospital.
No, you don't. You
fucking don't. Cockroaches fucking everywhere are horrible. And I was just like one big scab.
Oh,
one big fucking scab. And I crushed my face. I fucking had to have surgery on my nose. I'd fucking knocked a few teeth out. It was a fucking horrible experience. So that was the closest. That was the closest I ever came to death. But when I woke up, it was just like that sort of like I saw a human being. And it was just like, oh, my God, I'm alive. Thank God.
Oh my gosh. So after you came out of the coma, were you hospitalized for a while or?
I was in there for about 2 weeks before they airlifted me to some hospital in Cali.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, but fucking horrible.
I have one that's similar to that. Didn't happen to me, but it got me thinking. It reminded me. I dated, this is going to sound like a lie, but it's not. I dated a literal international model. She worked for Elite Modeling Agency.
Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
She,
nice.
Yeah, she was beautiful. She was also older than me, which was also weird that, you know. But anyway, she was in Mexico, and she got into an accident as well, ends up in the middle of the street, face down, bleeding all over the place.
Holy fuck. And we never talked about this. Is just some weird fucking coincidence. We never talked about this.
Not at all. Yeah, that's your story was uncannily similar. So she ends up, she's out for a couple of days. When she wakes up, they have her, it's so weird. They've bandaged her forehead where she had, impact with the ground. And they had her arm wrapped up in like, paper, like a paper cast, but not like a cast,
like a pretend cast, like a Mexican cast.
Yeah, like a gift wrapper at Macy's was in charge of the cast, you know. So just she wakes up, she's like, "What's going on?" And she didn't have any ID on her, so they had to wait for her to wake up. This is so weird that our stories are so similar. Well, hers and yours. But she had to tell them who she was. And then they contacted her father, who is well to do. And he sent a plane to get her. So she's Holy getting fuck. On this plane completely in the same condition that she was in the hospital bed, paper on her arm and everything and whatnot. And they didn't want, they wanted to get her quickly to a hospital in the States so that a full assessment could be done. They take her. They gingerly unwrap her arm, find nothing's wrong with her arm whatsoever. It was the weirdest part.
Weird.
Of the yeah. But wow, that's crazy.
That's fucked up. The two stories so similar.
I know. What's weird. And what's weird is her last name was Deadbug. That's what's really
That is fucked up. I should meet this girl. She's probably too old for me now.
Amy Deadbug.
Yeah, Amy Deadbug. We get together, hook up, and she'd be Deadbug.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a fucked up story. In the similarity, what part of Mexico do you remember?
I don't remember. It was in the part where you get in accidents.
I was in Acapulco, so
okay,
a main part. So I wasn't in any rural part. That is so weird.
I'm sorry that you had to go through that. That's
well, you know, I survived that. So it was very fucking weird. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't wearing a helmet and everything else. So fuck.
Yeah. Motorcycles are crazy. What can happen? You know, one injury that happens a lot with motorcycles that people don't hear about as much is if a car is coming at a motorcycle and the motorcycle reflexes by like turning the, you know, steering his front wheel left or right. And so the handlebars are kind of, you know, one's toward him, one's away from him. If the impact of the vehicle hits the wheel just right, it locks the handlebars on the motorcycle in place. Yet the person is jettisoned forward out.
I wonder if that's what happened to me.
It very could well be the case. And a part of one of the injuries that's really common with that is your body clears, but your legs don't always do it. And although, you know, the handlebars are big and beefy and rubber wrapped or whatever, there are a lot of leg injuries that literally look like shark bites from the body trying to clear the motorcycle and the leg getting caught in the handlebar. And it just rips the thigh muscle open like a can opener.
Fuck. I remember being conscious when I landed and standing up and people coming to help me. And I remember the only thing I was saying is, "Where's my teeth? Get my teeth." It was fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah. Just walking down this road with fucking trucks zooming by me saying, "Where's my teeth? Get my teeth." Don't ask me why I was asking where they were, but you know.
I'll tell you what, I've seen enough South American motorcycle accidents to know that you're lucky that, like your head didn't end up under the wheels of.
Fuck. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I mean, I worked in Asia for 5 years. I've seen enough fucking Asian fucking motor scooter accidents. I mean, just on the way to the airport, you'll see people laying dead on the road with their head squished out, and people, it happens so much that people don't even pay attention to it. It's like, there's a guy with his head squished. Really weird. Sometimes you'll see like a fucking father, mother, and their little baby dead on the road, you know, cause they, you know how there's a Wild West out there. There's three people riding on a scooter.
Yeah. It's crazy. And people don't, you know, our news is so sanitized that you hear about an accident. We you know, figure that somebody died because of the impact, or trucks do a messy thing with motorcyclists. Like it's either crush your head. But if your body gets caught between the wheels, like on the back axle, it just spins you and just tears your body apart.
Yeah. I've never seen that, but I've seen, it seems the common one is them running over the fucking head. It seems to be always the thing that gets square fucking not pretty.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, that leads us into this story, believe it or not.
Oh, good.
Anna was a girl. She was born and grew up. I'm trying to improve my journalistic skills. And so, you know, I'm trying to be very detailed.
Like a print journalist. Because television journalist, you don't have to worry about that. It's different.
Yeah. I'm going to try. And I'm also nervous because I'm writing the script and you're actually all the things that are professional about somebody that should write scripts.
Yeah. As you can tell by listening to my stories about all the.
Oh, all right. Well, Anna, during growing up, she went to college away from her home state of Utah to a little known state in America called Colorado.
Colorado, never heard of that.
Yeah, it's just small and nobody really lives there. She brought many things along with her, like sheets and clothes. But most important to her was her passion for skiing. Fortunately for her, Colorado had skiing too. And this made Anna happy. Anna also liked doing adventurous things with her friends. In September of 2012, Anna Beninati, then age 17, and three friends were returning from a visit to Denver from their Colorado State campus in Fort Collins. Fun fact to know and share, I went to computer animation school at the Art Institute in Colorado, and my girlfriend was an NC2A volleyball player at Colorado State in Fort Collins, so I know exactly.
Nice. A volleyball player, eh?
Yeah.
Nice. That's fucking nice.
She was nice. Oh, she was tall, too. Really tall.
Yeah. She should get me fucking... a boner.
Well, it was weird because I don't do long distance relationships very well. So it was weird having to, you know, drive almost an hour to see her whenever I wanted to. And it kind of
sounds like it was worth it. Worth the run.
Yeah, it would have. You would have thought so. But one time I went there and I knew she was practicing. And so when you're part of the NCAA and you're practicing, you know, that's like being part of the NBA and practicing. It happens and nobody interrupts you. Nobody, you know, it's not like...
Very, very, very regimented.
Very regimented. And I knew this, so I went to her dorm room and I was hanging out in her dorm room. And alone, her dorm mate was also on the volleyball team, so I'm just hanging out in there. I got a phone call from her mom. And whenever I get involved with people, friends, family, I become kind of tech support. I don't know. Everybody thinks I know stuff, but I just really know how to Google stuff well. So she calls me.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, I've got a problem in Word and I can't quite figure this out. And I was like, oh, well, I could probably figure it out. Let me try to recreate it here. Because my girlfriend had left her laptop there because she didn't need it while she was doing volleyball. So I was, I'll try to recreate the problem here because I'm flying blind without seeing what you're dealing with. And so I open up Word and her recent documents were open, the list of recent documents. And one of the documents was called breakup. So I opened this document. Here's what's crazy. This was a breakup letter, but it had been annotated, meaning that comments had been made by her mother saying how she would rephrase things. I'm literally I'm talking to her mom on the phone and I'm reading this letter that she has edited to break up with me. And I was just beside myself. I was like, really?
Oh my God. So it's like, you know, the hammer's going to fall.
Yeah, it's so surreal. I'd like to say I kept my composure, but I told that lady off and I was like,
really?
This is disgusting. Fuck. That you would. Oh, also, it wasn't even a breakup letter to me. It was a letter that she was writing to another boy and basically saying just hold on. This relationship I'm in won't last forever or whatever.
Oh my God.
It was so weird because her mom was literally condoning this kind of like duplicitous sort of, it was so.
That's the perfect word. Duplicitous fucking.
And they were very, they were wealthy. So it felt much like them kind of jockeying the pedigree of the boyfriend and which one was better for their daughter. It stunk the whole thing.
Just very, very, it very stinks is the proper word for it. Just like, and you'd expect better, you know, if they come from money and they're at a certain pedigree to behave better might be the way to go.
You would think so. So that relationship ended very quickly. However, the story, I get to be able to tell that story on a podcast where 500,000 people listen to it. She, because she was a volleyball player, had some magazine write about her time at college. I wasn't even a footnote in that story, but her next boyfriend for the last like year of her college was in the story, and he was a football player and he was everything. And it was so amazing. And so I, who had kind of walked her through several years of her college, wasn't even mentioned, but you know, so her life looks like a fairy tale to everybody on the outside. So that's awesome.
Fuck. So she still came out ahead on it.
Oh, she came out way ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I love her husband that she has now. He's an amazing dude. You know,
have you ever met him?
Oh yeah.
Or are you just saying, oh really?
Yeah. Our families our parents are still close with her parents, and you know, so it's kind of a mixed bag, but yeah,
that's a fucked up story.
Yeah, it's weird. It there wasn't a lot of closure.
Yeah, that is fucked. That's one of those things. It's like something like a movie.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. How did I? Oh, yeah. Colorado State, where Anna Beninati was hanging out with her friends. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Back to this thing. Okay. So they were in Denver and they had finished some activities in Denver and they were going to go back to Colorado State. Mm-hmm. So they're standing near an auto body shop sipping glass bottle Cokes, and the group decides to hop a train back to Colorado State by literally hopping onto a passing train. Anna had done this before, and it's not uncommon for Colorado State students to jump the trains, which those trains went right through campus. So practice.
Yeah.
So as the 18 mile per hour train came down the tracks, one friend made it, another stumbled and fell off. Anna then makes her decision to jump. She says, quote, "I had a very clear feeling for several minutes before I even ran to that train, just thinking, something tells me I'm not going to get on that train. Something tells me this is going to go really, really badly. This is just not a good idea. I don't feel right about this." Mm. But then she says, "But I figured I'm a teenager. I'm indestructible. I'm just being stupid. I can do this. So I went for it anyway."
Famous last words.
Famous last words. How about we listen to the call that followed her attempt to jump on the train?
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Let me know when you're with her.
Hang on.
Okay. They're on the way. They've been on the way since you called.
For one.
Okay. Do not tourniquet.
Do not tourniquet. Okay. They're saying we're not going to put a tourniquet on her. All right. Go get her up, you guys. They're trying to stick her up.
Okay, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to move her.
I know. Oh, no, I know. I'm trying to tell her, you guys, to pull pressure as much as you can. I'm on the phone. Lay your head back, honey. Hi. Yes, I do. There's another nurse on scene right now that works at the hospital with me.
Okay, how old do you think she is?
Early 20s. I will get right back to the victim. I'm getting gloves for the nurse right now.
Okay. Is she awake?
She's awake.
Is she breathing?
Very, very, very pale. How old are you, honey?
17.
She's 17 years old. What is your name? Her name is Anna. Are you from Longmont? Okay, here. You want, these are small gloves, but. No, we're not. I have a nurse on scene holding femoral pressure to one side. The other one, do you want another blood one? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Is she completely alert?
Okay. She is. Hang on. I'm trying, honey. You're good? Okay. She's what? Alert. She's talking. Now she's crying. Don't move.
Okay, what part of her leg was amputated? At the ankle, at the knee?
One is mid-thigh on the left side.
Mid-thigh?
I'm moving my car. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
So, left side is right. Amputated right
and
over
here. Is the amputated part
oh,
still
sorry,
there?
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that right in your ear. Damn it.
It's
the
okay.
Other one, right leg, is looks like right below the knee.
She got both legs? Okay.
She definitely has both legs.
Okay.
She is lost.
Are her legs?
Of blood.
Pam, are her legs still there?
Yes.
Okay.
The left leg actually may not be, but the right leg definitely is.
Okay. Okay.
So we have two units on scene right now. I'm sure they already called in.
Yep. I've got them on the way, okay?
Okay, good.
Right. If we can collect, without traumatizing her too badly, if we can collect those amputated parts. But it sounds like
yes.
The train's still moving. So if they're under the train.
The train is still moving. It's a
yeah.
Really long train.
Okay, then we don't want to try that.
Don't tourniquet it too much yet.
Okay.
No, we're not going to do anything right now.
Right.
There are still quite a bit of people
okay.
On the side of the road. They're not moving because the train, obviously.
Gotcha. No tourniquet, correct? We do not have a tourniquet on?
No, we are not. The officer on scene was just instructed not to do so.
Okay, that is correct. Do not tourniquet, okay?
We actually have
you have some cloth?
Makeshift tourniquet. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you have something that you can press against the part?
You don't know, or you said I can what?
To press against the amputations to control bleeding.
Yes. What we do right now, they're holding femoral pressure on the left.
Okay.
The right side is, they have like a t-shirt
okay.
Around it.
Right. That's fine. Just as you probably know, we don't want to pick that stuff up and check. Just, if it soaks,
no,
and continue femoral pressure.
Okay. We do. We're keeping on femoral pressure. We have the nurse on scene still. Her friend is still here. Two fire here now.
Okay. I'll let you go then. You talk to them, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Ooh.
That was fucking harrowing.
That was crazy.
That was fucking insane when she mentioned that her leg was missing and you could hear the girl call out. Fuck, if you got kids, that is fuck. That's soul. That's just your soul just sinks down into the mud.
Yeah, just
wow. That was very hard to listen to.
And all the bell ringing in the background. I'm not quite sure who was doing that, but that was unnecessary.
Well, that were probably the train crossing, weren't it?
Oh, yeah. It was okay. The train crossing.
Yeah. It's a town crier.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we get it. There's an accident. No. Yeah.
Fuck, that was scary.
There was a very long train. So
God bless the people that were there. Well, those trains are always long, aren't they?
Yeah.
Those type of train. The people that were there, the woman, she was so in control. But the guy on 911 was very in control as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of composure for the situation. Interesting though that she's so lucky. Anne is so lucky that they were there, because with the kind of injury that she sustained, where the femoral arteries are just wide open like that, severed like that, she could have bled out in as little as 15 seconds had people not been right there to help. I mean, those arteries are so big, they'll empty the body of blood.
Yeah, well, especially where the wound was. I mean, that was fucked. I mean, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
That
so
really, and you really felt that urgency in the call.
Right. Oh, and also just that would be so difficult to try to define what was going on, but no, the victim is right there. And you're trying to kind of save her stress or you know, going into shock or anything like that.
And you've got like a train that's 100 tons racing by you.
Yeah.
That's still coming by.
Unbelievable.
So they're still in harm's way.
Yes. and one of the legs is probably in the middle of the tracks. So this whole scene is sort of pending, getting buttoned up until the train leaves. Mm-hmm. And then somebody has to go over and grab the leg. And then where do you put it? You know, you want to keep it nearby, but not too nearby because shock.
Well, that's the thing. And that's I had a story regarding this because this brought back fucking memories for me of something happened to me when I was a kid. I don't know if you want me to wait to tell you or I'll tell you now.
Oh, tell away.
It's fucking, like I said, it brought it all back for me when I was a kid. And like, we haven't planned this. So this isn't us fucking saying, coming up with things. When I was a kid, me and my friends were playing behind the tracks. We lived right near the train tracks. So we would always go, we'd cross the train tracks. We'd skate over there in the winter. We'd play, you know, as kids, we'd play army over there. We would do everything. Everything was based on the train tracks. And we were out, we're fucking around on the train tracks. And we did the same thing. There were my friend, Rob Larma. There were Donnie Brown. There was Sean Mooney. There was Shane Coote. And there were myself. And we were all out playing on the train. And we would do the same thing. We'd hitch onto these, climb up onto these trains. Because that's just what you do. Because, you know, they have to go slower when they go through the town.
You're right, right.
So that gives you the opportunity to jump on them, I guess. And these ones, and they go by, and they'd usually be carrying, like, lumber or, like, cars. That would be the most, or coal.
Right.
You know, those big, long ones that go on forever. So when we were all going, we were all jumping up on them. And my friend Rob Larmer, he fell under. And the exact fucking thing, same thing happened. He lost both of his legs.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And he fucking cut him off at the fucking knees. Like right at the fucking, right below the kneecaps that were cut off. And it was the same fucking thing. And he was just laying there. And we were like in fucking shock. We jumped off the train and we were kids. We're like fucking 11, 12 years old. We were still on our, you know, we'd ridden our bikes there and stuff. And we were like in fucking shock. And he was just laying there saying, "My fucking legs, grab my fucking legs." You know? Yeah, no, I'm not joking. It's funny, but I'm not joking. But he was in, grab my fucking legs. And it was the same thing. We had to wait for the fucking train to go by, and he was laying there. And he was like a fish. He looked like a fucking little, like a flipper fish laying on the ground, like a fucking turkey almost. He was flipping around. And we didn't know what to fucking do. So then the train went by. Obviously, one as long as this one. And it went by. And my friend, first thing my friend Donnie Brown did is he went and he grabbed one of the fucking legs and he fucking hopped the fence and he put it in his bike basket, put a basket on his bike, which I'm not for baskets. I think only girls use them on bikes, but that's another story. And he put the fucking the leg in the fucking basket. He started riding away. I was like, "Donnie, where the fuck are you going?" He goes, "I'm bringing it to the hospital. We got to fucking get Rob there. Fuck the leg."
Yeah.
And so we grabbed the other leg. So my friend, Shane Coote, he grabbed the leg. And then my other friend, Sean Mooney, he took off his name was Sean Moon, but we called him Mooney. It was a nickname. He took off his jean jacket and he swaddled. He fucking wrapped up our friend Rob. He went in fucking shock. He like looked like the same way, white as his ghost. But the thing is, was his legs weren't spurting out blood. The medics at the hospital afterwards said that the train almost cauterized.
Oh, wow.
Where it sealed the wound.
Yeah.
Well, somehow.
I've heard that in incidents where it's bludgeoned as opposed, which would be this, it's basically amputation by pinch, you know, just a lot of pressure, that that the swelling and the edema that kicks in can do exactly that. Whereas if leg was cut off with a sword, it'd be a different story.
Yeah, exactly. There was no blood or anything. So my friend Sean Mooney, He swathed him. He wrapped him up in his jean jacket and he tried to pick him up. You know, like those old Russian broads do with carrying the wood in the olden days.
Yeah.
He like hung him over his shoulder in his jean jacket so he could like swath him. Cause we had to ride on our bikes. Right. So he picked him up and he fucking dropped him. He fell out of the jean jacket.
Oh no.
And he landed on his fucking head. Yeah. Oh, so to make things worse. So then he tried to swath him again. He picked him up and he fell out again on his fucking head. And I said to my friend Mooney, I said, "Just fucking pick him up. This is embarrassing. we got to get to the hospital. Stop fucking around." So we fucking picked him up. So we both carried the end of the jean jacket and we climbed the fence because it was over this fence. And we were close to some houses and we went to the houses. And we just fucking brought him over the house and dropped him on this woman's doorstep and banged on the door. And this old broad answered, and she was a nurse.
Oh, Oh, wow.
Yeah. What? And she, oh. Yeah. And she was totally, and this is obviously the days before mobile phones and everything. And it was like fucking, you know, she was very calm and cool. What the happened? I said, well, we were fucking around on the tracks. He fell under the thing. And the long and the short of it is we never saw the guy, this Rob Llama, for about a year. And then about a year later, he showed up at the, and because we're kids, we didn't even go check. I don't know what happened where we didn't. I think maybe his parents were pissed at us or something, but we never went to the house or visit. We never heard anything. And like I said, it before was texting or social media. And we saw him. And they had fucking, and this is the honest God truth, they had sewn his fucking feet to his kneecaps.
What?
Yeah, fucked up. Totally fucked up. It must have been some sort of experimental thing in the 80s or whatnot. I don't know what it was, but they sewed his, he had feet on his fucking kneecaps and he walked like the Penguin. And we called him Rob Half a Man. That was his nickname.
It sounds like, have you ever seen the King of the Hill, that cartoon?
Yeah.
His dad doesn't have shins.
Oh, that's right. He does. And that's exactly what he looked like. The fucking whole thing. And he's like I said, and we called him Rob. I don't know what happened to him. And he seemed to like the name. It suited him, I guess.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Yeah. And, but a fucked up, just, I don't know how you would sew the fucking feet, or maybe they were artificial. We never asked him because, I mean, it's an intrusive question. Right. But he walked like the fucking Penguin. So fucking, but I mean, miraculously, he survived. I mean, last time I heard, he were like a pin monkey at a bowling alley or something. Then he went on to manage it. I guess because he was small, he could get under the fucking where the pins and stuff. I'm being honest with you. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
He were a pin monkey at the fucking Bowlerama.
Oh my gosh.
He went on to manage it. He got laid. Apparently he had kids. Maybe they weren't his. Maybe it was just a cheating bitch or something who said they were his. But so he still had his fucking balls and stuff and had kids. So he went on to live a good life, I guess. Rob Half a Man. I've tried to look him up, but I never found him. Rob Half a Man. If anybody knows, or Rob, you're listening, give me a call.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm kind of motivated now to try to find.
To find Rob Half a Man. Look it up. Rob Llama. That'd be good. That'd be a good fucking mission to hunt him down.
How do you spell his last name, do you think?
Llamer.
Okay.
Mer, yeah, Llama. Rob Llama.
I'm going to try to find it.
Sorry, I mean, I totally digress, but I thought that story were fucking startlingly similar.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
So what happened? But what happened to this girl? I mean, seven. Okay. That's the thing that's fucked up with me, because for you said that like the kids do that a lot, but I mean we were like 11, probably 11, 12 at the most. So we were kids doing that. It's just, you think when you're 17 years old, unless you're a fucking hobo, you wouldn't be doing that. You'd know, you're smart enough, because by the time I was 18, there's no fucking way I'd be climbing on a train.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You would think.
You get a little smarter, especially girls too, because girls are a bit more sort of, they're smarter in that way, aren't they? Like guys, they're weighed down by their balls and they do stupid things, but women are usually that voice of reason.
Yeah, I think peer pressure must be a component. I also think time, like generationally, right? Where, you know, hitchhiking was a huge thing in the 60s and 70s because nobody was getting killed, you know,
yeah.
Left, right? And then they were, and then we stopped, and you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, you've got all the stories of you know, old historical stories of hobos riding the rails and everything. And yeah. I think it's romantic to some people. They just don't see the fact that, you know, it's also super dangerous.
No, there's no fucking way I would do it as an adult or as a, you know.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you do moving stupid things.
You know, yeah, I mean, might get on a stopped one and see what it's like, but I never.
And what year did this happen?
So this happened in 2012.
I mean, that's what's so fucked up about it. Because, I mean, when I did my thing, we're talking the fucking 80s when everybody was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, kids, you know, I mean, kids were just nuts. But, I mean, 2012, I mean, that's fucking recent.
Well, and apparently the school has repeatedly at different times over the years reminded students not to do this because it's literally a thoroughfare that takes you from, if you stay on it long enough. You heard them say, are you from Longmont, which is actually a town next to the Mississippi State. What am I saying? Colorado State, because Colorado State's in Fort Collins and Longmont is just down the way.
Yeah.
So they were like en route from Denver.
But it must be the same sort of story as when I was saying where the trains are driving really slow.
Yes.
Like they must go really slow through the town.
Yeah. And I think so. And, you know, they may even stop to add or take away cars as they go and that
kind of stuff.
So, yeah, I'm sure that that's the case. There's always that sort of.
Because they're deceptively, because when they went, used to go through our neighborhood, it was deceptively slow. Like you could literally walk beside them almost.
Yeah. Well, and that was the case, I think, here. I mean, this was a 118 car freight train. And they hopped on it. I'm not quite sure why they, and I couldn't tell if this was like attempt number one and a couple people mounted, a couple people dismounted and it wasn't going to work. And, you know, obviously you want to stay together. So some of her friends didn't make it, so she got off, or if they had all gotten on and then decided, hey, let's get off at Longmont. So I'm not.
And they just dismounted the wrong sort of way. And
yeah. And you would think about it, you know, if it, I don't know. I mean, there's two ways to get off of a train, three, I guess. You could run and jump. You could sit down and kind of hop off, you know, and you got a little bit of distance where your feet will hit.
But well, the trick is to clear. You got to really make a clear the train, don't you?
Yeah, because you got to clear the train. You got to clear, also you got to clear all of the wooden
trestles.
All the wood that makes up underneath the track, you know, so you got a lot to clear. And then the third way, I think, that is the most ill-advised would be to, some people might try to get on their stomach and inch their feet off of the
track. That's what I think she did. And she just hung, and then she just, and if you know anything about dynamics, you're going to get under when you could do that way, you're going to fall under.
Yes. And she probably tried to give herself that heave ho. So her legs went under the train to try to give her that momentum to push out.
Yeah.
And boom, boom, boom. So once it happened, she said, quote, "I remember looking down at my legs, dragging on the ground, looking at the wheels and how fast they were going. I just remember looking down there and thinking, OMG, what have I done?" Oh, that's when the two Longmont United Hospital employees, emergency medical technician Nicole Crowley and nurse Kathy Poirier, rushed onto the scene and controlled her bleeding. She said, "If Kathy and I would not have been there, she probably would have bled out," Mrs. Crowley said. She would not have survived, she said. "I'm thankful that at some point in my life, I got to use my skills for something miraculous like that."
Wow.
"Nowadays, I just got to go to the hospital and it's COVID, 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 blah, blah, blah." Okay, I might have added that last part myself. I'm sure that's
what... I was going to say, how timely.
How timely, right? Yeah, that they interviewed her in 2021 for this. Yeah, no, I added. I'm sure that's their job now. I'm sure that's real, but I digress. They're first responders, so bless their hearts.
The amazing job.
They do. They I can't even imagine. I would quit.
Me too. So
a few months later, Anna, who is from Utah originally, she's a Utah native. She's smiling. She's optimistic, and still a skiing enthusiast, who speaks about the dangers of not thinking before acting, which is interesting because how do you tell a whole generation of people that are that age or a whole age group to think before they act when it's literally still wired in their brains to think, not think and act, you know, but you know, sometimes it takes a story like this to make you think about your actions. And I guess, you know, age 17, your brain hemispheres are starting to actually fuse and synaptic gaps are closing. So hopefully she's touched a couple people.
And that is a fucked up story, but I'm very surprised at how late in the 17 years old. That's just a weird one. Yeah. I didn't even know people did that shit anymore. I thought we're like something from a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely, peer pressure and college years and all the things that go with that. And not to mention, they were downtown Denver. They were away from campus and they were, you know, rebels on the run.
Yeah.
She ended it by saying, life doesn't end with an accident like this. She actually was on the Today Show with Ann Curry. And she said, I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, I can make a choice. I can either stop where I am and sit here and do nothing but wallow in self-pity and shake my fist about why I don't have my legs, or I can choose to get over it and just move on. And she says she chose the latter. So she's had 11 surgeries on her legs that I can.
Wow. Because she lost her leg quite high, didn't she?
Yeah, one at the hip and then one mid thigh.
Fuck. I mean, those would have been major fucking artery fucking bleeding.
Yeah. And then how do you, such large muscles and everything. How do you?
Yeah. Fuck, man.
She's had 11 surgeries. She returned to Longmont Hospital on January 21st of the same year to present awards to Mrs. Poirier and Crowley and the other emergency responders who saved her life. So that's really cool. She still skis with the help of a mono ski these days, which is kind of a cool contraption. It's like a snowboard and a pair of skis had a
baby. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah. Seen those.
And it says here that she still loves to play the bassoon, but I'm guessing that's probably a side effect of the injury, I would guess, because nobody likes playing the bassoon. So. Well,
I heard that Rob Lama was a fucking bassoon champion afterwards. He was fucking, you know, playing Stairway to Heaven on the bassoon, and he had no interest in it before.
So it's a byproduct of
the injury.
Yeah, evanescence from having the injury. That's amazing. Yeah. Get together. Maybe, you know what? Maybe there's a whole bassoon symphony we could put together of amputees. Yeah,
of fucking leg mentals. Fucking.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Fucking Rob, eh? But he made best too. He were like, he went on the Today Show, but you know, because this happened in Canada as well. He didn't have a Today Show. They probably just, who knows, probably stuck a cardboard sign around his neck and fucking stuck him out in front of the TV station. People threw quarters at him. But he made good with his life, too. He became a pin monkey.
Yeah, man. He learned how to use his newfound...
his dexterity and stuff. He could get in all those fucking tight spaces if you do a double split. When you're rolling the thing, you were fucking right in there. And it's a hazard. Probably got hazard pay as well because, you know, if you get... I better stop. If you get hit by a pin or something. But, you know, he had kids. He managed it. I remember it was the Long Branch Bowling Alley, Bowlerama. He managed. Everybody said, I never went in there because I got to be honest with you, I pitied him.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that, but I just didn't want to relive those moments of Donnie driving away with his leg in a basket.
Well, I think it's hard, too, though. You know, when you're a kid, I remember, I can't recall anything that traumatic happening, but... I remember, you know, things would happen to a kid in the neighborhood and we weren't self-aware enough to go and check on the kid. It kind of felt like suddenly they became a ghost.
It's totally that, you know what? That is totally fucking true. You just wiped them out of your, yeah. I mean, he just was not in our circle of friends anymore. And we just called him Rob Half a Man and that were it. And like I said, it was like it didn't happen. You didn't go check on him. And now as adults, you think, God, what horrible friends. We would have been like, you know, hey, Rob, how are you? But nothing. It was just, he was out of the circle.
The ones that I did connect with as a kid, I can attribute the reason why I did to my parents and them saying, hey, if this had happened to you, you would want somebody to show up to your door and still be a friend. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, and I'd go over and then everything was normal. It was like, it took that push from an adult to say, hey, your friend's not a monster. Go.
But you know. Yeah, true. But I mean, you know, my parents, I mean, my dad, if you ate scrambled eggs, you were fucking Elton John for Christ's sakes. Scrambled eggs were for fags. I mean, that was his motto.
He's the one that came up with Rob Half a Man.
Yeah, no, I don't know who came up with it. It wasn't my dad, but my parents didn't even talk about it with me. Man. You know, we're like, that's, it was crazy. Just like, it just wasn't one of those things that we just, my parents weren't those sort of caring individuals, you know?
Yeah.
They're the type who say, well, serves them right.
Serves them right. Or
serves them right.
And it could have been you. You know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. I once a cop took a beating from a cop for no reason. We were like just running and they thought we'd committed a crime or something. These cops beat the shit out of us. And I told my parents and my dad said, well, you probably had it coming. And if you didn't that time, I'm sure there was another time you got away with. So you deserved it.
Yeah. Well,
it was a different generation.
It was. Well, and you know, spanking was okay. And, you know, I don't know. There were so many things. We all wore corduroy. We were mental back then.
Yeah. Fucking corduroy. Whatever happened to that, eh?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be crazy though, if you're in the 80s and you're a corduroy manufacturer and you're like, we are billionaires. And then
we're riding high. And then it just the whole market drops out.
And you're like, now what? Oh, man. Hey, how about a happy ending?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let's do this. So
you're still giving it to me though. I'm not doing it to you.
Deal. All right. So this one's kind of interesting. Here's a question for you. Hey, Deadbug. Hey, if there was a crime that you could commit and nobody would know, what would it be? Like, if you could get away with maybe some kind of vigilante justice or a specific murder or high profile crime, what do you think? What would you do?
Oh, gee. And I get away with it for sure.
Yeah.
I'll probably say murder.
Murder? Yeah.
Yeah. There was this fucking guy I used to work with at the BBC, and which is the television station in England, for anybody who don't know. And his name was Peter. I don't mind even fucking saying it.
Wow.
Peter. I don't even fucking care if he's fucking listening. And he were a fruit, okay? He were like a fucking homosexual of the worst fucking kind. He were a bitter, nasty piece of fucking work. He made my life miserable. And I remember working at the BBC, and he were like so fucking, he was just a piece. I can't even get into it. But if I could have killed him and got away with it, I would have fucking done it. And I remember me and this editor I worked with, we talked about it all the time. How do you think if we could kill this guy, we'd get away with it? And it was really funny. I swear to God, there were a couple of years later, we were watching a TV show that here was on Britain, and it was something called, I forgot the title of it. It was called I Almost Lost My Life. That's what the title of the TV show was. And yeah. it would be people talking about how it could have been that girl who fell under the train.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It could have been, I almost lost, and then she would tell her story, and we were watching it. Oh, I was watching with my girlfriend, and guess who came on the TV?
Peter Swayze.
This Peter Swayze guy. And I call him I always make a mistake, but he would offend it because Patrick. But what the fuck is the difference? It's hardly committing some sort of fucking crime, right?
Right.
Exactly. So anyway, he popped on the fucking TV, okay? And this guy was like a fucking camp. Like, I swear to God, I can't even, nothing against gay people. He was so fucking camp. He were like bald. And he had this, you know, the people that do the perfectly, they use the trimmers to trim his beard perfectly. Like with George Michael.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But he had the shaved head. And he pops on the fucking TV and he's so camp. He's, well, I was walking. I came out of this bar and these guys walked by me and they called me a fag, and I said something. I can't remember what I said. It wasn't bad. I forget what I said. And they jumped on me and they started kicking and punching me. And I couldn't fucking believe it. I phoned my friend, the editor. I say, turn on the TV, turn on channel 4. Fuck now. And we were watching it together. We couldn't believe it that we were watching this Peter guy that we had wished and we had planned to kill. Just only pretend planned to kill. He was on. And he had been beaten, and he almost died. He got beaten so badly, they fucking stomped on his head and everything.
Whoa.
And he survived it. But the thing was, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. But the funny thing was, is because we knew what a nasty piece of work this guy was, that whatever caused these guys to set upon him, they did.
Yeah.
But he was selling himself as this nice guy.
Yeah.
This duality, you know, but I mean, like I said, I don't want to make it because it was gay or anything. That was just a side factor of it. I mean, nasty person could be anybody, but that's my story. So we said if we could kill someone, not that we would have, but he would have been the guy. And we were making elaborate plans just for fun. You know, like we'd get a sock full of cue balls, or we'd beat him up, and then we'd cut his body up. Just little fun things, you know,
fun things.
But we'll move beyond. I don't want to focus on that too much because people think I'm crazy.
but even today, even though he's been through that, if like the windows of heaven closed and nobody knew about it, he'd be the one you'd go and just finish the job on.
Yeah, I'd still kill him.
Okay.
Definitely. But I know that's illegal. And so for argument's sake, I would say no. But it was just a nasty piece of work. But, you know, but now, you know, I've grown beyond it. Maybe I'm more mature now. And who knows? I think he's probably dead anyway somewhere. Someone finished him off.
He might be, you know, somebody might have done your dream job for you.
Like, yeah, exactly. See, I loosened up there. I shared too much with you. I shared the story. Maybe you better beep out that last name.
I will. I'll beep out the last name. Just
good. Okay. So where was this leading? We're digressing here.
Okay. Well, here of crime where the criminal was just proud of himself for the almost crime that he didn't commit while criming it up. According to police, sometime around 10 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is, by the way, do you know Greenwich? Have you ever heard of that GMT? I think BBC.
It's England, English time.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's also a universally accepted time. So like we've got different time zones in the US and Canada's got some. And
it's Greenwich. It's not Greenwich. It's Greenwich.
Greenwich. That's right. Greenwich Mean Time. But that's universally accepted, you know.
Yeah, that's our main UK time. That's what I was saying earlier about all these English names that are spelt one way, but it's pronounced another.
Oh, yeah, because it's Greenwich, like a sandwich, but you say Greenwich.
In England, it's pronounced Greenwich, yeah.
Yeah. You also ruined the world with the word colonel, because it should be colonel. Drives me crazy.
Does it? Well, here they say, instead of saying aluminum, they say aluminium.
Aluminium, yeah. There's
instead of saying Adidas, they say Adidas.
Oh my goodness. That's weird too, because if I'm not mistaken, it's not just a Hollywood trope, but like the tough kids in the streets, they always wear the Adidas or Adidas tracksuit.
Yeah. Still, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. At 10 a.m. GMT on Christmas morning of 2011, 46-year-old Wilfred Ruiz got in an argument with his wife, Anna, in their home in Miami, Florida. Then he started punching her, pulling her hair, and punching her hair. And that's when their son, Eric, grumpy from being awoken, came downstairs and got into an altercation with his dad. This was followed by a phone call to 911 by their daughter. So let's listen to how things went from Santa Claus to break-in-laws in a call that I am going to title Wilfred Who That Almost Didn't Do by Dr. Seuss for custody of the kids.
Oh, poetic. I like that.
Thank you.
Family Day Police and Fire, what is the address of the emergency? Got a house and apartment.
A house.
What's the phone number that you were calling from?
786.
Hello, ma'am.
Yes, 786.
Uh-huh. Tell me what happened.
My husband and my mom is just going crazy at my house. I need to call to your dad.
Is he black or white?
He's Hispanic.
What color shirt does he have on?
Red.
What color shirt?
Red.
Wait, does your mom need fire rescue?
I don't know. I just need to go like now.
I already have them on the way, but I need you to listen for a second, okay? Okay, now what color pants does your dad have on?
Khaki.
Does he have any weapons that you can see?
I'm sorry.
Does he have any weapons that you can see?
No.
Where is he now?
They're all downstairs.
And you don't know if your mom needs fire rescue?
No.
Who else is home with you all?
My brother. He's fighting my men too, and my little sister.
Where are they? Are they upstairs with you?
No, they're all downstairs.
Are you able to get them from out of there?
No, I can't.
Miami Dade Police and Fire.
They're screaming next door to my house, and I'm very concerned. Can you please send someone over?
What is the address, ma'am? We already have the police on the way there now. What's going on there now that you can see?
The wife is crying and screaming, and I don't know what's going on. And there's been screaming outside.
What's your name?
Yeah.
What is your name? What's your phone number you're calling from, ma'am?
The one I'm calling from is my husband's.
Do you see or hear anything else?
Yeah, like the son from next door, he looks like he's injured.
The son?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you see him now?
He's walking with an ice pack.
Where is the ice? Where did he have
head.
That? On his head?
On his head, yeah.
One moment, hold on.
And the wife, she's coming over here, and she smells like gasoline.
She smells like gasoline?
Yes, she smells like gasoline.
Where is she now?
She's outside with my husband.
What is she saying? Do you know?
No, she's just crying. I don't want, she's in front of me, but I'm not getting pictures. I'm holding my babies, and she smells really strong.
Okay. And you don't, do you know how old the son is?
I want to say in his 20s.
Okay. Does he have a facial injury? Is that where he's holding the ice bag?
Yes, on his head. Yeah, now they came inside my house. The two children, well, three children and the wife.
Okay, so you have everyone except for the husband in your house?
Yes. The son apparently got hit over the head with a stick by his dad, what I'm hearing. And the mom, she got hit and thrown gasoline on her. She smells like gas. It's big time. I could smell
it. If she does, then you need to step away with your daughter, if you were the baby that you have in your arms. Because if you smell the gasoline on her, you don't want the baby to take in those fumes as well.
Yeah, yeah, I smell. She smells really strong. And then they threw a whole bucket of gas on her.
Bamini County Police and Fire, what is the address of your emergency?
Una
casa, apartamento. Una casa. Ya yo tengo la policía y la ayuda yendo para allá.
Okay, okay.
¿Qué pasó aquí?
No, que yo peleé con mi esposa y la quisiera matar, vaya, y quiero que me lleven preso para no poderla matar.
¿Cómo usted se llama? ¿Usted está afuera?
No, yo voy a salir ahora mismo.
Sí, espere ahí afuera para los oficiales, para que hable con ellos.
Está bien, ok.
¿Ok?
Ok.
Okay, now.
That last call was him, actually. He called 911 at the very end there.
You're joking me.
No, so at 10:41 a.m., Wilfredo's hysterical daughter called 911 and said that her dad was just going crazy and hitting her mom. 6 minutes later, a neighbor called, which you heard, to relay a chaotic scene. And Wilfredo's son was holding an ice pack on his head after his father had hit him with a stick. And his wife was soaked in gas or alcohol. And the lady says she smells like gas big time.
Yeah.
Then Wilfredo himself calls, casually explains to a very, very calm 911 operator, No, I want to kill my wife, but they'll take me to jail. Later, the operator instructs him to wait outside for the police, and he agrees. His mugshot looks like a bruised and beaten Squidward. This guy's got the weirdest shaped head you've ever seen. And it's unfortunate. So he said after his arrest that he was just proud of himself for not killing his wife
for self-restraint.
Yeah, he was proud that he didn't light her on fire. He was like, so what's the deal here? What's going on? I didn't light her on fire. I didn't do it. I was like, wow. So, I mean, this is a pretty dark, happy ending. But in Wilfredo's mind, he was happy to serve his sentence because he was just proud that he didn't do the worst in his head. By the way, Wilfredo was given probation and community service for his punishment.
Wow. For that.
Again, all that. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you, I don't know how you feel about your level of luck, but my luck is such that if I do the slightest thing against the law, I know I'm getting in trouble. Like, I want to know the recipe for these criminals where they can go out and literally just run roughshod over the law. And then they get off. It's amazing to me.
It baffles me too. Cause like, I think in my experiences is in my life, it's just like just little things. You know what I mean? You're getting threatened and, you know, you mess with the law. I mean, they come down on me.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And these guys, I mean, fuck, I mean, this is like a powder keg waiting to blow.
And he's beating his wife and he's beating his son, and some judge said, well, we're going to give you a probation for this. I mean, could you imagine being the family and how you feel when Wilfredo
is back home?
Yeah, he's like 8 minutes gone and then he's back. And he's like, so we need to talk because you all snitched on, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Who made the call, you know, and I'm going to be pounded down on you. Jeez.
Unfortunate. But anyway, you know, I guess we should all be proud and thankful for the fact that Wilfredo restrained himself and didn't light his wife on fire. So,
well, it could have ended messy.
It could have ended very messy and very toasty. So,
yeah, we're glad. Exactly.
But anyway, that's all I got. Deadbug, your time on the show has been a pleasure, and hope if I haven't scared you off, we'd love to have you back as a regular on irregular or semi-regular or whatever kind of schedule you'd like to have.
I'd love to. Oh, fun. Well, good laugh. Although it shouldn't be a good laugh. I found myself laughing.
that's part of the, I think it's called gallows humor. You know, it's like sometimes yeah. We get through these things, we have to be able to look at it from all angles. So
yeah, you're gonna probably get some complaints on this one though, I think.
Well, like I said, I our community is unique, and one of the things that I kind of pride ourselves on is that we have some sort of vetting process, which says, hey, the people that stick around are ones that they can see past my flaws, and you know, yeah. and whatever words we tend to sling into the microphone, they see past that and they give us a pass and they see it for what it is, I guess.
Well, good. I mean, and if anybody wants to contact me, I'm at peta.sweezy@hotmail.com. Send your hate there.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, if you really want, if you really want to find Deadbug, where can they go? They can go on YouTube, and they have to be specific. They have to go and search Deadbug, all one word, Deadbug Says. On yeah. YouTube, to find you on YouTube, which you've got just amazing, impressive library of episodes there.
I think I got about over 250 films that haven't been taken down.
It's amazing. That's unbelievable. And you crank these out at like what, one a week, something like
one that? A week. I try to go by television, you know, of what I would do to put out an episode or something. And it would take a month to make a TV show, and I do it a week and I put them up. So there's everything from like, paranormal murders, fucking the most brutal murders with the most brutal crime scenes, everything from porn stars. I got Death by Porn, which is a whole series on like porn stars getting murdered.
Into a Japanese series as well.
Whole Japanese series about crimes, the most bizarre fucking crimes you can imagine, fucking the dead and everything. Anything you can imagine, I got there. And like I said, it's the real deal. It's all from police reports, and I'm delivering it how it's supposed to be delivered. There's nothing PC. Some of the stuff you got to say, prove that you're 18 because they've plus 18'd it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's sort of plus 18 content. So
yeah, well, exactly. But you know, come on over and say hi, you know, yeah. or Patreon or whatever.
Yeah. YouTube, Patreon. We've both discovered now it's patreon.com/deadbug. So head on.
Oh yes. And it's not patron. It's Patreon, isn't it?
Yeah. Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like a French word or something?
Something. It definitely. Yeah. I think it's
a fucking Greek word.
Some French person snagged the domain name. I'm like, what should we do with this word?
Yeah, and come over and see me. Or like I said, we're going to, me and 1159 and the operator, we're going to be doing some stuff as well, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to light up the Deadbug Says podcast here very shortly now that we've got.
That's right. The podcast is coming. When's it going to come?
I'm thinking that, let's see, it's Wednesday. If I can lock down everything, I got to get back to this email that I got today from Apple saying that the show is approved for distribution.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that took us a little while. But once that's done, there's a couple things. I'm going to say, you know what? Let's plan on a Monday launch. We'll get nice. This rolling. So
nice, nice. Okay. Well, I'm up for it then, operator.
It's going to be exciting. All right. Hugs, everybody.